the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So at around 6 o'clock this evening, a statement expected from the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson about the further easing of restrictions in England, but it seems that there is going to be a delay. We're joined by Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio. Nick, thank you for joining us. Why a possible delay of the full reopening by a further 4 weeks?
All down to the Delta strain or the Indian strain, whichever you choose to use. It is far more virulent and it is causing a spike in hospitalisation, 7,742 yesterday. What does that mean? Well, that's a lift of some 48%. Now, the good news, if there is any good news, is that you are treated, the drugs can treat you. If you've had both vaccinations, i.e. my age group, then it is, and you've had 2 weeks, then the Indian strain does not affect you, does not even hospitalise you. If you're down to one, then if you're hospitalised, I'm delighted to say the treatment almost certainly will work for you. While one is too many, the number of deaths in the United Kingdom yesterday was 8. I say again, one is too many, but that is so much lower than we have been contending with. So the 4 week delay is to get more second jabs into more arms, effectively of our 40s and our 30-year-olds.
Okay, but and the AstraZeneca vaccine on the second jab does work, because people have been raising concerns as to how well it works in relation to this Delta vax variant.
Over 40s, yes. If you're 40, if you're 39, I imagine, below, or 40 or below, they still are saying that they would rather you went. This is all to do with blood clotting. For instance, my sons have both had their first jabs. Both the lads are in their 30s, and they both had Pfizer. I know of others who've had Moderna. So while the government are at pains to say that AstraZeneca is still being given to older members of the community, and if you had your first AstraZeneca, then your second will be AstraZeneca. They are just, until all the research is in, they would argue, just being ultra, ultra cautious. And there's been a bump in the road of supply of Pfizer, not so much Moderna. I think we might have spoken about this, and excuse me if we did, Scotland is crying out for Pfizer by the middle of this month. They will be down and they won't pick up until the beginning of July, but then that the supply will be back on track.
What remains closed in England at present are restricted circumstances? I mean, we would have seen yesterday the England-Croatia game at Wembley. Many of us were watching that. And there's a smattering of a crowd, but clearly it looks about one quarter full. So what is actually still not possible to do until these restrictions are lifted?
You can only have, if you have your back garden, if you have a party in your back garden, it has to be restricted to 30 people, although there's consternation because at the G7 down in Cornwall, there were 38 people. Dominic Raab, the British Foreign Secretary, is stressing it was COVID secure. Well, if I had a party in my back garden tonight and 31 people, I could argue it's COVID secure as long as I like. I could still be facing a £10,000 fine. So very embarrassingly, it would appear number 10 have managed to get that wrong. But back to your essential question, that means social distancing is still in place. No more than 6 people indoors, 30 people outdoors. Theatres down to 50% capacity. Just an interesting note for you there. Andrew Lloyd Webber, who's sunk £6 million into Cinderella, has said he's going to open and he's ready to be arrested. The same with other venues, other hospitality venues. And, of course, some pubs, depending on the size, obviously if they've got a garden, they've been in a good place. But the hospitality industry is suggesting that this month will cost pubs, restaurants and bars that don't have facilities to open because they can't get enough distancing in around £3 billion. And then lastly, the wedding industry, but if I've got time, I can tell you about that. The wedding industry are looking at losses of around £325 million a week because 50,000 brides and grooms are waiting to tie the knot.
Well, actually, that's an issue here for the wedding industry in Ireland as well, which has operated under even more restricted circumstances. Yes. And I think that's why we're looking at the delay in the reopening in England with a certain degree of trepidation in case that's something that's likely to happen to us as well, because of the caution that you're showing. How is Boris Johnson, though? What sort of reaction is he getting to this? Because there would be the perception that he's a sort of a gung-ho figure, that he just wants to get up and at them, that he wasn't going to be hamstrung by excessive caution. So what's going on?
And just a word on the brides, and that is the one area that number 10 have clearly signalled there will be wriggle room. It will probably be on the size of venue, so it will be a percentage for the purpose of debate. If you are holding it in a hall that could take 300 people, there will be a percentage thereof. So you might be looking to get, let's just say, 100. So all the brides, grooms, mums-to-be, whatever else it might be, keep an eye on what happens with Boris Johnson. Back to his, in England, and I stress England, of course, through devolution. Amazingly, excuse me, amazingly speaking, in London, most of the polls actually are still calling it, increasingly narrow, but still calling it for Boris Johnson. They speak about the fact that this is a variant that moves. If it takes just another 4 weeks, the only way he can really get away from this, Matt, is, I remind you, it was always June the 21st at the earliest. He did always say that, although I have to remind you, if we all worked hard last year, we would have had a Christmas, and if we worked hard over Christmas, we would have had our Easter, of course, both of which didn't take place. But amazingly, at the moment, by I would suggest a slightly shrinking number, but the majority of it, yeah, he still probably has the room.
Okay, now I want to ask you as well about his performance at the G7, in particular in relation to the relationships between the United Kingdom and the European Union in relation to the Northern Ireland Protocol, as it's known, and his suggestion in an interview with Sky News yesterday that he would do whatever it takes to protect the integrity of the UK. What do you think does he mean by that, Nick?
I think we're both sides are at the saber-rattling stage here. He has undoubtedly... Now, there's a degree of confusion here. Did he actually not realise what he was signing? Did he realise what he was signing and he was hoping to put it off until June the 30th? Or is it, as his camp is now briefing, something that the European Union are playing, that they never predicted this, they never expected this, but they should have been alive to allow that, that they are becoming extremely... pernickety, for want of a better word. They point to Boris Johnson's allies, point to the fact that if goods coming in for the purpose of Japan through Belfast, the inspection rate is somewhere around 5 to 10%. Yet here they are saying in this chilled meat product, they want 100%. That's caught the UK side very flat-footed. Having said that, it is what they signed up to, and it's getting very ugly between the two sides, although okay, talks go on, and of course, the Prime Minister is in Brussels.
Nick, we were never in any doubt here in Ireland as to what the protocol actually meant or how it would be operated. Ursula von der Leyen made an interesting comment over the weekend when she said the agreement was even written in English so that Boris Johnson and his people would understand exactly what was being was involved in it. Can anyone really seriously believe that at such a key treaty between the UK and the European Union that Boris Johnson and his people didn't understand what they were signing up for and didn't understand what they were presenting to the British electorate for the 2019 general election?
I think it comes back, at least as regards to the protocol, those famous words from Prime Minister David, sign it, just sign it, which was David, now Lord Frost, who of course was the UK's chief negotiator. He promised to get Brexit done. He's got Brexit done. He had that delay of this particular aspect until the end of the month, and now it's coming back very much front and centre of negotiations. And as you say, in a way, coloured very unfavourably all the events down in Cornwall on the weekend.
And finally, I think you had Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, on with you this morning. Does he have a suggestion as to how to actually solve this?
No. He talks about how both parties need to talk. He talked about how, in fairness, exactly what you've just said, how come Boris Johnson never signed it? He hopes that some kind of peace could break out between the two sides, but a fundamental idea that you could hang your hat on that completely reworks the protocol, I have to say no.
Thank you very much, Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio here in London.